welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Today's episode of the Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by SomersetSportsPerformance.com. Thanks very much for joining me today for this episode of the Essential Tennis Podcast. Today I'm going to have a doubles partner that I had in college for 2 years. He's going to be my guest today on the show, and we are going to talk about communication in doubles. We're going to talk about several specific scenarios that we often find ourselves in doubles, and how to best communicate with our partner to most effectively deal with those situations. So sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now it's time for Essential Tennis Q&A.
My guest today on the podcast is Mark Hamelman. He is a college colleague of mine. He and I played college tennis together, and now he teaches full-time out on the West Coast. Mark, welcome to the show.
All right. Thanks, Ian. Always appreciate it.
No problem. Well, let's start off by give us a little bit of a brief background as far as your playing experience and now also your teaching experience as well.
Well, first off, just to give your listeners maybe a little background, Ian and I played two just stellar seasons in college together. we had some good matches. We had some pretty bad matches. But hopefully we can draw off some of the stuff and, you know, help out your listeners. But the last 3 years, you know, it doesn't feel like 3 years, but the last 3 years I've been working at a club out in LA. And it's kind of one of those things where I thought I was going to be teaching, you know, for 3 months, and I ended up liking it for a good amount of time. So I've been doing it for 3 years now. But I'm USPTA and that whole deal, and now I'm enjoying it. So.
Great.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you, Mark. And really the specific reason why I wanted Mark to be on this show is, as Mark stated, he and I were doubles partners for 2 years in college. And so we know each other pretty well as far as our playing styles and our tendencies. And he and I grew together on the court for better or for worse during our doubles matches. Sometimes it is for worse. And so I think Mark will be able to pull from that experience and answer our question for today's podcast, which is doubles specific. So what do you say we get going on today's question?
All right, let's do it.
Our question comes to us from John in real life, who posts on the forums all the time, and he's quite a character. We enjoy having him on the forums. And here's his question. He wrote and said, "A great discussion came up post-play beer this past Saturday, partner communications in doubles. It began with one of my buddies asking me why I rarely look behind me when I'm at the net, because he does it all the time. I told him it's because everything I need to know I can tell by looking at my opponents or listening for my partner behind me. We then went on to talk about things partners do to communicate to each other, such as saying stay or switch, warning your net man when you put up a short lob, calling for help when you get lobbed, calling a ball for yourself in the middle, or asking for help on a shot you think your partner is in better position to make. I realize a lot of these verbal cues become unnecessary as doubles partners develop their on-court ESP, but until they do, such communication is beneficial. In my experience, doubles players don't talk enough, probably because they are more often taught strokes, positioning, strategy, and are rarely taught communication." So that's pretty detailed, huh?
Yeah, that's good.
So basically, John wants the whole scoop here on communication in doubles and kind of feeling out your partner and knowing. Yeah, he posed a lot of different questions here, and we're going to go over all of these, Mark and I, in detail and tell you guys our thoughts and maybe specifically as they have pertained to ourselves and our own doubles play. So the topics we're going to go over today are, first of all, looking back and forth when you're the person at the net. We're going to talk about calling stay or switch. We're going to talk about calling a short lob to let your partner know that you've put up a weak shot. Also, asking for help when you're the net player. When the ball is in the middle, who takes it? And lastly, signals and pre-point planning. So we're going to put kind of 5 minutes or so to each of those, and tell John what we think as far as whose responsibility is what and how people should be communicating clearly in their doubles play. So let's start off with looking back and forth at the net. And this is something that I actually just went over in detail during a team practice this past week in my teaching. Mark, what do you think? Should the person at the net be looking back and forth to follow the action as the ball is passing them, or should their eyes stay forward?
Well, that's an obvious answer. I mean, they should be looking forward, and, you know, there's exceptions to every rule. But I would say 99% of the time, you really don't need to look back. And, you know, this is something I'm always addressing with pretty much all levels, you know, from basic levels down to, you know, or all the way up to even, you know, 5.0 players. You know, it's not a natural thing to do. You mean, you want to, you know, we're always told to keep your eye on the ball.
Right.
And, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm telling my students, okay, don't look at the ball. And it kind of throws them off. You know, but just like anything else, I mean, this is something you have to practice. And, you know, my freshman year in college, I think you told me this once or twice, hey, you know, stop looking back. You know, I was kind of like, well, why? But, you know, I really never had a ton of exposure to doubles until college. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are aware of college tennis, but, you know, doubles is huge. And, you know, in the early levels, especially USTA levels, you don't play a lot of college doubles. You don't play a lot of doubles. So,
right.
I mean, just being aware of where the ball is, focus. You only really need to look forward. I mean, everything you can find out what you need is going on in the point. I mean, you only need to look forward. So, I mean, I don't know how you feel, Ian, but you're always more on top of this than I was. I was, you know, constantly looking back. I actually think we have a picture on Facebook of me looking right back at you.
No, that's right. I remember that photo.
we should throw that on the forums, just for a good example of what not to do.
That's a good idea. I'll post that, Mark.
In fact, I might have deleted that just now.
But no, you're right. I think
that's something I need to work on, so.
I think it's human nature to kind of be curious and see, you know, what is going on back there? What, you know, what's Ian or what's Mark doing back there in the corner? And the funny thing is, you actually will have a better idea, guys, and you're going to have a much better jump on what's coming next if you actually keep your eyes in front of you. And especially if you have a one up, one back position in your opponents over on the other side, if you keep your eyes on the net player, they will tell you everything you need to know. If your partner behind you has just hit a weak shot, that net player, if they're any good, is going to be making a whole lot of movement to try to cross and get that ball. And you'll be able to see that faster than you would be able to look back, see the weak shot, look back forwards again, and then go, oh crap, the net player on the other side is already right. Oh crap. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, the net player on the other side is, by that time, has already started making their move. And by the time you look back forwards again, you're pretty much already out of time and you're ducking and it's too late.
Yeah.
So it's extremely important. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of you are thinking, well, it's just, I'll just make a quick glance back. Or, right. You know, I could whip my head around quick enough, you know, where I can see what's going on. But, and, you know, that's what I thought at first too. But it's one of those things, if you just try it, you kind of realize, wow, this works a lot better. You know, it's a small change. You know, it's not technique or anything like that, but it's something that it really helps out a lot.
You're right. It's not a large technical thing, and yet it makes a big difference because in doubles, I mean, time is a valuable commodity in doubles. If you can give yourself an extra half a second to react to your opponent's shot in doubles, you've just gained a huge advantage as opposed to losing that half a second. So this is all about time and being able to react to your opponents more effectively. So it might feel uncomfortable, guys, to keep your eyes forwards and keep your eyes on your opponents, specifically on that net player. But please do it. You're going to be better off for being disciplined and watching your opponents. And as soon as you see, for example, if your partner hits a good shot, and it's obvious by the net player's reaction on the other side of the courts that they're just going to be allowing it to go past them, that's when you should be closing in and trying to put the next shot away. And conversely, if they're making a move towards the middle, as soon as they take that first step towards the middle, you know it's time to get in defense mode. So that net player is going to tell you everything that you need to know. Anything else to add, Mark?
No, I think the second part that you just said is really important. I mean, if the ball gets past the opposing net player, then it's not a huge deal when you look back. It doesn't help, but you can usually get away with it.
Yeah, that's true.
At least in my experience, it's the time where I'm looking back, Ian hits a shot, maybe I shouldn't say Ian. Ian doesn't hit a good shot. down the line at the net player, all of a sudden I'm looking, and by the time I'm looking forward, the ball's by me, you know? And, you know, it's just, you know, like you said, that quick reaction helps a lot. And I don't know how you feel about this, Ian, but I think there is an exception of when it's okay to look back. Do you have any exceptions here?
I didn't write any down, so I'm curious about this. Why don't you go ahead and tell us?
Because I was thinking about it, and I know a lot of people might differ on this.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Let's say, you know, we're both at the net, or let's say I'm at the net, you're at the baseline, ball goes over my head, it's a lob. You're going to recover and try and get it. And I usually, you know, communication helps a lot. You can call a switch, but let's say the lob goes over my head. You throw up a lob, usually I want to tell right away if it's going to be a good lob or a bad lob.
Sure.
If it's, you know, and, you know, if you hit a bad lob, you hit a bad lob. It happens. But if you hit a bad lob, I want to get back as soon as I can, and hopefully you help me out and say, and I think you're going to allude to this later in the podcast, but, you know, if a bad lob goes up, I want to know, you know, right away if it's a bad lob.
Right.
You know, on the opposite side of it, if it's a great lob, I want to be, you know, getting close to the net because you're back at the baseline. I'm probably going to have a stab at the next volley. So I think the only time to look back is maybe that situation when, you know, you need to get that information. But at the same time, you know, if you hit a good or bad lob, hopefully you would let me know. But that's the one time that I find myself looking back. And, that's what I teach my students, that that's the only time.
No, I think that's good, Mark. And so basically an extreme defensive situation where you pretty much know your partner is kind of just going to be throwing the ball up into the air and hopefully trying to regain some balance in the points. No, I think that's good advice, actually. What if your partner is prone to kind of driving off, kind of a low percentage shot, going back and hitting a drive off of that tough lob that's gone over our heads?
You need to find a new partner then.
What if they like to hit a tweener?
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, that's not always the bad play, but I think, you know, 9 out of 10 times throwing up a lob is better.
Sure.
You know, make your opponents beat you. I know that's one of Jason C's strategy. You know, he just make your opponent beat you. And I definitely think, you know, throw up a high lob, hopefully get it past the service line. That usually pays off. You think about it, the lob goes up, you've got few seconds to react. That's a time where you can look back because you've got enough time to look forward, you know, to react for the next shot.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, a quick return, something, you know, it's so quick, you don't have time to look back. So I think if your partner's ever thrown up a lob, that's a time where you can look back and you want to, because then you want to get a little information. But I would even stay away from doing that initially because, you know, again, that's, you're looking back, and we're trying to stay away from that.
Sure. Well, that's good advice, Mark. And since you kind of segued into it, let's go ahead and move on to the short lob and communicating that.
You like how I did that?
That was nice. That was smooth.
Well, thank you.
Nice job. You might have a future in this. Right. So you're, or let's just say that you have gone back to retrieve a tough shot, and you're going to be putting a lob up, a defensive shot, and lo and behold, maybe you've hit it a little bit off center, or maybe the wind has kept it short, but you've hit a bad lob. And is it always appropriate, Mark, to kind of give our partner the heads up? So let's assume they're looking forwards like they should be, and we've just hit a poor shot, and they're going to be a sitting duck if we don't let them know. Is it appropriate to let them know?
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's never bad to, you know, over communicate.
Sure.
You know, It's usually the other way around. But absolutely, if anything else, I mean, your partner's not going to get hit and you have a partner for next week's league. You know, I mean, at least get him the heads up because, yeah, bad luck comes up, you're playing a good team, you're probably going to lose the point. But who knows? He might get back a couple steps. Hopefully, you know, like we said, if he was looking back, he's still looking forward now, and he's going to have a better shot at it. I see no reason why you wouldn't tell your partner unless you know you just didn't like him. Which could happen.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's a good circumstance for you would not tell them. Yes.
We're assuming most of our listeners like our partners.
Yeah, maybe that's a kind of a strong assumption to make, but let's go ahead and go with that.
that's true.
We do like our partner. Okay. And guys, when you are the net player and you hear from your partner, you're being a good doubles player. You're keeping your eyes forwards, and unbeknownst to you, your partner has put up a lob and it's weak, and they've told you it's short. As soon as they put it up, make sure, guys, that you don't turn around. Make sure that you keep your eyes forwards, and you keep your body facing forwards. And this is where it pays to have good balance and being able to backpedal quickly, and keep your hands in front of you because we're not looking back to check out that lob, and we're keeping our eyes on our opponents. It's possible it could be coming pretty quickly, and you want to keep your hands in front of you and keep your body square to the nets, facing the net, so that you're prepared to play a defensive shot back. Because if your opponents are good, they're going to be going right for you because you're the net player.
They're definitely going for you. I would say, I mean, you could at least get to three quarters court if you know what's going on. You have a good partner, they tell you what's going on. But I've seen other situations where they don't tell them and they're still well inside the service line. And good luck
trouble.
To you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're best off just making the sign of the cross there. Yeah. Well, so good communication is key there, guys. We don't want our partners getting hit. And by the way, if you are the person at the nets and your partner has put up the weak lob, this is where it's key to be looking forwards as well. Your partner might actually not even know that they've hit a poor lob yet, but by looking at the person at the net or the people at the net, if they're in balance and standing there and they've gone to, you know, a ready position for an overhead, that's your key to start getting the heck out of there and backing up.
Yeah.
Whether your partner has told you it's short or not, this is another circumstance where if you were looking back and you see your partner lob and you're kind of watching the ball up in the air, this is one of those times where you don't get the benefit of seeing what your opponents are doing to be able to react accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I'm not an advocate of this, but there's many times where I just try and get the heck out of the way, you know, if that lob goes up, you know, and you really shouldn't do that, but I've done it.
It probably depends on the level of player you're playing against, I would say.
I mean, yeah, I still want to have kids later in the future and stuff, so, I mean, who knows?
What about, what if we're talking about like a 3.0 level of play? You think they should still hit the hills and run?
No, I mean, you should really never do that. Hold your ground, be a man. I'm saying that's what I did, Ian.
Oh, all right. So once again, not use Mark as an example, guys.
You said I was an expert, right?
Yeah. I didn't say an expert at what, though?
No, but definitely hold your ground. I think you know what's going on. You have a good partner. You can get back to three quarters court. I don't care who you're playing. I mean, if you're inside the service line, you're in trouble. If you're at three quarters court, that gives you, I would say, at least double, maybe three times the amount of time to react by the time it comes off, you know, your opponent's racket. You're in a lot better shape. It's not even, you know, it's where you're standing, not necessarily, you know, if you know what's necessarily coming at you, you know, you've got to be back far enough. You've got to have both, I guess.
Yep. So, yeah, the more information we can gather, guys, the better. So be a good partner when you put that lob up and it's not stellar. Just say a quick, you know, short or you know, whatever. Let your partner know.
Whatever, yeah. And I think that goes back to just, like you said, double DSD. Hopefully you know that whatever they say, you know, sometimes I just try and get something out of my mouth. I don't say the right things, but hopefully your partner, you guys have been playing long enough where you can kind of sense, you know, something's not going right. You know, hopefully you have a signal saying, you know, I don't know what you say, Ian, but back or short lob. I think back's probably the one thing that I hear a lot, but whatever works, I guess.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on. What's that?
No, I was thinking something else you could say. That's probably not appropriate.
Probably, so. Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. This is a family show. All right, yes. Let's move on to, I want to make sure that we devote some good time to this next topic, and that is the ball that comes right down the middle of the court. And I see misconceptions and miscommunication about this situation constantly in doubles, and especially when we have both players at the net, and maybe they're staggered a little bit, but we've got both players around the service line or closer, and a ball comes right down the middle in between them. Mark, let's talk about communication when it comes to that situation. And I'm curious what your initial advice would be off the bat. What do you think about that situation?
Well, you're talking two people at the net, correct?
Yeah, let's start off with that. If two people are at the net, okay, and the ball is coming right down the middle, who should mm-hmm. take it?
I would say there's different situations. But when we have two people at the net and the ball goes down the middle, I would say, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, Ian, but I'd have both you guys go after it. The worst thing that can happen, and we're assuming you guys are positioned correctly, worst thing that can happen is you might clash rackets. But I've seen people say, you know, oh, I thought you had it, and the ball goes down the middle, and when you're at the net, you don't have time to talk. I mean,
yes.
This has happened to us a couple times where, you know, we just both go after it, you clash rackets. I mean, it's a perfectly legal in tennis.
Uh-huh.
If I hit, you know, the ball and your racket just happens to hit mine, that's perfectly fine. But I would encourage, all your listeners just to go for it. And usually the person that's slightly in front of the other one, you know, will make contact first. But I'm kind of interested to hear how, you feel about this, Ian.
I'm proud of you, Mark. That was a good answer.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
And if Mark and I haven't rehearsed any of this, that was good.
No, it was on Wikipedia, actually.
Nice. Whose ball down the middle? Wikipedia. I think the best thing that you said, Mark, is that we need to realize that in that situation, we don't have time to sit there and discuss it. There's no mm-hmm. time to call it and say yours or mine, unless we're talking about a lob. Assuming that we're not talking about a lob that's sitting up in the air where we have a lot of time and we actually could discuss it, if the ball is being driven down the middle, both players need to make at least an initial move towards the ball. And then past that point, usually it becomes obvious fairly quickly who's going to get there first. And like Mark mm-hmm. said, once in a while, yeah, it's possible you both might get there where the ball is going to intercept, and your rackets might hit each other, and that's fine. But much, much better that than to sit there and think, who's closer, him or me, mm-hmm. or my personal favorite, whose forehand is it?
Yeah.
You know, the guys, you don't have time to think about those things. And whose forehand it is completely irrelevant. If one of you is just one step closer to the net, that's the person who really should be taking this ball anyway. Mm-hmm. So both players need to make a move for it, like Mark said. And whoever gets there first, well, you get the prize of trying to put the ball away. Anything else to add to that, Mark?
No, I mean, I think it's fairly obvious. I mean, in doubles, you can only cover so much of the court. If you can reach the ball, I mean, you should go for it when you're at the net. And if you think you might hit your partner, you're wrong. And if you do, then you're probably standing too close to each other, and that's a different issue, right?
Right.
But you, just go after everything. And I've never hit my partner with my racket, to my recollection, at least on accident. So.
No, I don't. I don't think I have either. Now that you mention it, yeah, and that's more
of an issue of positioning than
sure.
the shot that you're hitting, I would think.
And yet, that seems to be a common excuse, doesn't it, among lower level doubles players?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought I was going to run into them or hit them or.
No, that's what I hear a lot. Yeah,
go for the ball, guys. Go for the ball. You want to have an aggressive mentality up there at the net in doubles. And if you're constantly mm-hmm. second guessing yourself and wondering, you know, as the ball is coming, what should I do here? Should I go? Should they go? Most of the time, it's going to be too late. Just
right.
make your move. Get in the habit of just making a move at the ball.
I would say one exception might be is, let's say it's like a slower ball, not necessarily a lob, but maybe, you know, a floating shot. Then communication is still okay because you have time to do that. But
yes,
maybe your initial move is to go after it and then somebody might call you off. But I think what we're talking about is a quick reflex volley. You know, just go for it.
Yeah. And I think the important thing to get across, and I agree with you, Mark, I think the important thing to get across is that in any circumstance, whether it be a lob, an in-between speed shot, or a drive, both players should make an initial move to try to get the ball. And then if there is time where you guys can actually communicate, then at that point in time, you can actually talk about it while you're both making your move. And it probably will become obvious whose it's going to be or who can probably make the easier play on the ball. And then you can communicate from there. If you both make the move and there isn't time, well, then whoever gets there first is going to get the ball, and it kind of works itself out.
Yeah.
Well, real quickly John, thanks for the great content that you've given us here. Before we move on to our next topic, and we're actually only going to have time for one more. Once again, time flies on this show as always. But I just want to make a quick word here about our sponsor, which is SomersetSportsPerformance.com. That's SomerSet, SportsPerformance.com, where you guys can go to get an online training curriculum. You guys fill in your personal information and your goals as far as your health and your fitness level. And there on the website, you have access to training professionals, sports medicine doctors, nutritionists, and they tailor for you an eating program complete with recipes and grocery lists and also training and workout programs. And right there on the website, they give you all this with a daily routine that you can follow. So SomersetSportsPerformance.com, I thank them very much for their support, and go check them out. They provide a great product. All right, Mark, we got time for one more. And John, in real life that we're not going to get to all your questions, but let's just cover one more. And what do you think, Mark? We could talk about covering. Oh, we actually already kind of talked about covering a lob. Let's talk about signals and pre-point planning. Talking with your partner before points, either in the way of signals or actually physically talking. Mark, what's your favorite ritual to do with your doubles partner to prepare for a point?
To prepare for points?
Yeah, in between points, talking with your doubles partner.
I see what you're saying. Well, I think every partner is different. I've had a lot of different partners. I think with you, you should talk with your partner after every point. It's just kind of what you say, what you do. I think with you, it was less is more, just kind of be positive. Some of my partners, you know, they like, you know, meet back there, talk to them, you know, hey, I think this serve should go here. But definitely go back with your partner. You know, if anything, just to coordinate the next point, say, hey, I'm serving wide or whatnot. Or, you know, if anything, just to keep your opponents, you know, on edge. You know, if I see my opponents aren't talking to each other, I know they're not poaching this point. I know what they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that depends on your partner. But I don't know how you felt with me, but I think a lot of it depended on how the match was going. You know, every partner needs to pick me up. Let's say, you know, it's 15:30. Okay, just a quick reminder. Hey, get a first serve in here. You know, but yeah, definitely talk in between points.
Yeah, I think that it's great advice good information to point out that yes, the worst thing that you guys can do is to do nothing and not talk, not say anything to each other, not do any signals, at which point, just like Mark said, you're pretty much advertising to your opponents that, hey, we've got nothing special planned here. So you guys can pretty much just relax and return or go ahead and hit cross court because that's probably going to be a safe play. So the worst thing you can do is nothing. So you guys should be doing something in between each point, whether it be signals or actually verbally talking. And Mark, I also like how you mentioned that even if you don't have something special planned or some kind of special tactic, it's good just to give your partner some encouragement, you know, just literally a little pat on the back and say, all right, let's go. And that might be it. That might be it.
That's all you need sometimes, yeah.
Right. If you're obviously in command of the match and you're well ahead, You know, I might just be to go back and just slap hands real quick and say, all right, let's go. But there should be something there. And Mark, I think you're right. It's important to point out that we want to keep our opponents guessing. Doubles is such a tactical game. And so just make them think you've got something planned. It doesn't even have to be anything specific.
Right. And definitely do it, you know, with each other. I remember a story that Martin was telling me, another guy on our college team, is they would just kind of tell each other what was happening in between points because they were both German. Then, you know, they could talk with each other. We didn't know. Well, they didn't know Martin understood German. So he would know what was happening in between every point just because, you know, they weren't going back and talking with each other. But definitely, yeah, just, you know, if you look at the best doubles team in the world, Bryan Brothers, they literally sprint back to each other in between points.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something to be learned there, too. I'd be hard-pressed to find a doubles team that doesn't talk in between points, a good doubles team.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right. I also agree with you that this is very personalized. And you're right. I didn't like carrying on long conversations on the court. I was usually pretty focused one way or the other. I was on a roll and I didn't really see much need to talk, or I wasn't on a roll and I didn't feel like talking either.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that was more with you. I'm my partner's senior year. You know, he was a freshman, I was a senior, and he wanted me back there in between points. You know, just to hang back there a little bit. You know, you get 30 seconds in between points, 25 seconds depends. You know what you're playing, but you know, a lot of partners just want that support back there. You know, and a lot of times they need it. So I think a lot of it depends on your partner and what they're comfortable with. I think you can. You know, maybe with you, I tried to, you know, maybe even talk to you a little bit too much in between points, you know, and maybe I get on your nerves a little bit.
No.
But definitely, yeah, never. but definitely do something, even if your partner kind of wants to shoo you away, just go back there, you know, say nice shot, nice try, whatever you think is, you know, appropriate at the time.
All right. Well, good stuff, Mark. I want to wrap things up here because we're all out of time. Unfortunately, we didn't get to one or two topics that John had asked about. And John, I'm sorry we didn't quite get to everything, but I'd be happy to bring those specific topics up again. Or if you want to re-ask some questions here that maybe we didn't quite get to thoroughly enough for you, feel free to post on the forums again and let me know. And I'll be happy to bring this topic up again because, as you guys can see, communication in doubles, it's extremely important and something that we need to have a good grasp on and something that we become efficient at and something that we do well because it's going to improve your doubles game a great deal if you continue to work at it. Well, Mark, thanks very much for being on the show and I appreciate you sharing your insight with us and hopefully in the future we can have you on again.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I'm loving the forums. I mean, the site's only been up for a year, and look at you. You're already getting bigger name guests on the show. So, you know, kudos to you, Ian.
I do what I can to get those big all-star names.
I mean, you stepped up today.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much, Mark, and take care.
All right. Adios.
All right. That does it for episode number 61 of the Essential Tennis Podcast. Big thank you to Mark for being my guest today on the show. And if you have spent the time to listen to today's show, big thank you to you as well for supporting me and Essential Tennis by downloading this file. If you found the information helpful and informative, I'd really appreciate it if you would go and tell your tennis buddies, hitting partners, maybe not your opponents. Don't tell your opponents because we want to keep beating them, right? But tell everybody else about Essential Tennis and the podcast. I'd really appreciate that. All right, that does it for this week. Take care, everybody, and good luck with your tennis.